welcome back, and welcome back from your small groups and from the break. Did it feel forever, the break?
Yes, it did.
It felt a little bit forever. Well, I'm glad you are all here, and we are going to start with just a time of worship this morning. We're blessed to have Miss Liz on the piano with us today. Yay. We're just going to cut nice and open with a lovely song. And so I pass out song sheets, and if you're familiar with Blessed Assurance, you might already know it by heart. But we'll have our music. Yeah, is that nice? To get started. So I'll let you just take it away. Yes. To our time together today. Thank you for the blessing of being able to sing and the beauty of that hymn and our blessed assurance that we do have in you. I thank you for each and every lady in this room this morning and her commitment to drawing closer to you. We ask your hand of blessing on our fellowship today, on our time in the Word. And I would ask also, Father, that you would bless my words, that my words would be pleasing to you, and that we would leave here more committed, more excited to be in your word than ever before. Just grant us that enthusiasm through the power of your spirit today. May your hand of blessing be on Pastor Jay as he does his studying this morning, and just continue to bless our fellowship here and all the different ways that we meet and minister. Thank you so much for our group last night and our group this morning, and just women and men getting together who love you. We thank you for that. We thank you for our time again right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, and all God's women said,
Hallelujah.
Amen. All right. So, welcome back. Love to be in the study with you. I tell you, I don't know about you, but I need focused time. Getting back into a study is helpful for me, as I do better if I have something a little more focused. So I want to draw your attention to a few new elements in our Bible study at this point. And the first one is on the back side of your notebook. And if you can pull that little sheet out, you'll see that those of you who like checklists, you will be loving this. Who's a checklist person? Anyone else besides me? Okay. So I've taken our study and divided it out, all of our chapters. So you'll start where it says lesson one here. And then that way each day you know ahead of time what your reading time will be or what your study time will be. So this is a different approach than what we did in our last study. Last study we took every 2 weeks we did a chunk. For example, we started with Road to Emmaus, right? It already is a little warm in here for me. So if we can, I pushed it up to like 140 degrees just to get it really hot.
No, you didn't.
I kind of did.
Well, I didn't do that.
But just go ahead and turn it down to maybe 96 instead or something, because I am already a little on the warm side. I can take off one of my layers. Only one. You're not going to get the rest off, right? All right. So that is there to help guide you. Unlike last time where we just went through kind of topical on the idea of hope, even though it was through scripture, we're going chapter by chapter, chunk by chunk, verse by verse, through a book. We're going to go through the whole Gospel of Luke. There's 24 chapters of Luke. We have 9 get-togethers, and that makes 8 studies, okay? And of course, since we meet every second and fourth week, you have basically 2 weeks in between each time we get together to complete. So the only exception to that is this week. Between now and our February study, you have 21 days rather than just 14. So you'll have extra time this time, which means don't do it all the night before.
When is the next meeting date?
It's on your schedule, but I believe it's February 14th.
Oh,
there's a
calendar.
Yeah. So, yes?
Why did you pick Luke?
I'm going to get into all of that.
Okay.
I'm going to talk all through all of that. So, just to draw your attention to that chart, we put it in the back cover so you can pull it out and check things off. Isn't that nice? A little progress report for yourself, how you're doing, and check, I'm done, yay me. So, if you'd like some scratch and sniff stickers to go along with that, yay you, good job. All right. So I'm going to go through now. What I'd like to do is give you an overview of what we're going to be studying today as our first kickoff time together, share my heart with you why I wrote the study the way I did, and then also give you an opportunity to kind of learn more about our approach to actual Bible study. So I know you've all been in Bible study before. We were all here last time, or maybe you've even been to Bible studies at other churches. Anyone else been to Bible studies besides this one? Okay. So what I want to do, and I think it might be self-evident, but what I'd like to do is to encourage you to think more about your faith. And I'd like you to picture yourself in a bit, as the scripture says, that we're on that straight and narrow road, right? It might feel a little wider to you at times or not quite as straight, but the Bible does say straight and narrow road. I'd like you to picture yourself on that road and where you picture yourself in terms of your faith walk, if you will, right? We all are heading to that destination with the Lord. And in Psalm 90, God's word asks us to teach us to number our days. So that's what we want to do as we enter into this Bible study. For those of you who like to take notes during my talk, there's a page for you in your notebook. And those of you who really like to get busy with your notes or have big handwriting, there's a basket on the table by the fireplace with more paper. So feel free to get up and grab more paper, or you can just use the page in there, and somebody who already turned to it can holler out the page number it's on. I don't have it memorized.
Page 4.
Okay. So page 4 in your notebook. All right. So our goal here, my hope here, is that we would orient ourselves as we do our Bible study to the greatest commandment, and that is what Jesus summarized when he said, love the Lord your God with all your, maybe you know, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, right? And then, of course, to love our neighbor as ourselves. So Deuteronomy 6, when he first called his people together and defined, this is who I want you to be, and this is how I want you to engage with me and with everybody else, right? And Jesus summarized all the law right into that command, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So maybe that begs the question a little, how do we do that? Right? So our goal then in our study is to fulfill that and honor God in that while we're doing our study. We want to get to know God. We want to have a relationship with God. And there's three distinct ways that we will hone in on together as women in this particular study. And the first is that we will honor God's word. We'll take God at his word. We'll make that a priority. We'll be in the word. And we'll lift up God's word. Everything about getting to know God centers on what he's already said to us. It already started in the word. The next is through prayer. And that might be obvious because Many of you are mature in your faith and you know it's important to pray. If you joined us in our last study, you remember we spent a whole portion of that study on just the Lord's Prayer.
Yes.
And the hope it brings when we orient ourselves in the way that Christ patterned prayer for us. So we are in a relationship with God, and we want to avoid the pitfall of thinking of God as a distant, of out there, thinking of his word to exemplify people and the cloud of witnesses that we have to use as we relate to as those people back in those days. We're those people to somebody in the future,
yeah.
Right? And as we were talking about this morning, when you hit 50, you're like, yeah, 70 looks great. So we're all, you know, I don't think Daniel would appreciate, or Jonah or Noah would be like, hey, you're just one of those old guys from the olden days, or Esther. Oh, I would never say that about her, right? So we have a tendency in our mind, though, to distance ourselves. I see God constantly bringing those stories through the power of the Holy Spirit back to our heart, back to our life. And it's going to happen when we're in the Word and when we take seriously that we're in a relationship. And the communication part of that relationship is prayer. We're going to value prayer. And you're going to see throughout the study, I'm going to give you specific times to pray and to challenge you to actually write your prayers out. And to there's a model I've modeled for you on how to do that. And use whatever model works for you. That's a suggestion. I think it's on page 5. Somebody can tell me. We'll get to that. I'll loop back to that in just a minute. The third way that we want to get to know God, and this might not be something that occurred to you. It occurred to me, though, and I thought, oh, this is true. So we'll be careful with it, but let's just open our mind to this possibility. We get to know God through his word. We get to know him through prayer, but we get to know him through the testimony of others. All right? So we're going to be careful because the testimony of others, me, for example, is not God's inspired holy word. The words that I speak, and as terrifying as it is to record myself each time and put it up there and listen to it and go, oh, no, I worded that really loosely. I should have tightened that up a bit. We're going to take that with grace from each other as well. Mm-hmm. So when someone shares in your group and you're like, that seems a little off, we're going to compare it to scripture and encourage each other. But we're going to know that God is working in Carol's life. God's working in Susie's life. God's working in all of your lives. And therefore, we can use the testimony of others. As it says in Hebrews, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And those are the guys who ended up in the Word. Their stories are written out, but your story is being written as well. So as long as it aligns with God's word and we're not, you know, following Jim Jones or anything cuckoo crazy. Oh, that's really blinky.
You're done.
Yes, Lord, I'm listening. Can anyone break the code? I think it might be Morse code or something. What is
that? I know, a short one. Hey.
Wow. Oh, funny. Oh, my goodness. That's almost okay, strobe light. Pay no attention to the crazy lady. Can you all see me still? Is this okay? I don't want to open that because then you can't. It's too bright. Is that one okay? The window.
Okay, that's
bright.
Okay now because the sun's
far enough. All right. Well, just if you can't see me, I understand. We're all challenged with vision. I am. I can't see people very well anymore. Okay, testimony of others, Morse code from heaven. What was I talking about? Anyone listening to the recording right now is going to be, what is going on in that room? The light was flashing. It was really bizarre. We're back. Okay. That's for them listening. Okay.
God's trying to teach us something.
Oh, yeah. Write this up in your devotions, ladies. Okay. Getting to know God through the word. Through what?
Prayer.
And through it, isn't that us together as we come and have our study? You're going to go away. You're going to have your time in your own personal word. And then, ladies, you're going to come back, and we're going to hear from you. That's why we break out into those groups. I want to hear from you. In fact, this morning, I was tiptoeing around, listening in. Last night, in each group, tiptoeing around outside the door and just blessed my socks. I wrote out to a group of my friends, my cup overflows. Mm-hmm. When I hear the testimony that you're sharing. And I don't want you to dismiss that. You know who wants you to dismiss the power of your testimony?
Satan.
Your enemy does. That's, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough, biblically, knowledgeably informed enough, right? Mm-hmm. And you're okay. Do you love the Lord? Are you in his word? You're okay. So that's where we're going to begin. We're going to align with the intent of knowing God and making him known. Knowing God and making him known. And just like any relationship, it's a relationship. Meeting a person, making a relationship with that person would be akin to that. In the ways that you connect, I want you to think about your relationship with God in that same way. When you connect with somebody, my hope would be, I don't think any of you in this room would be like this, but you don't meet someone and think, what's in it for me? Now, you might meet someone and do that if they own, like, a pastry shop. I'm making a new friend who owns a pastry shop. What is in it for me? I sell some free scones, right? Whatever. Forget scones, croissants. Why did I say scones? I don't even like scones. So dry. Come on. They're dry.
They are.
Okay. All right. Just keeping it real. Keeping it real. All right. But feel the shift. Feel the shift. When you meet someone and your heart is to truly connect with them, to truly know them, and to be willing to be known by them. This is why it's so powerful in Psalm 139 when David says, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. See what he's doing there? I want to know you and I want to be known by you. And we want to do that in our group here. We want that to be something that we're defined by here. There really can be no true knowledge of ourselves without true knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. Because from point A to point Z or triple Z or whatever he's got planned for us out there at the end, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. And from there, order. And it ordered the universe. It ordered how we function physically, emotionally, spiritually. Right? This is why he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. I've aligned it that way. You were created to connect with me in that way. So, how does that translate then to our Bible study? What does that look like? All right? In studying the Bible, my goal, our goal, I would pray, would be to discover God first. To discover God first. As you open the Word, it should be about discovering God. How did he orient things? How does he align things? When I read a verse, I might ask, what does this tell me about the nature of God? When you went to your child's back to school night, or your nephews or your cousins or your own, and you met the teacher, you heard the teacher speaking, you're a teacher, you probably teach, what are people doing when you put up your slides or you see the slide? They're forming a view of you, mm-hmm. how you relate to them, mm-hmm. right? God, we think of him the same, I want you to think of him the same way. When you open up the Word, it's back to school night, you're getting to know God, how does he want to relate? What does it say about his nature? I don't want to bring into that classroom to the teacher how I think third grade should be run. I might have some ideas. But I want to hear what her view is or his view as he teaches. God is the same way. As our master teacher, right? So, what does this tell me about the nature of God? So important. Can you put it on a post-it note and write that out, and then just move that post-it note through your Bible so that no matter what verse you're reading, you keep that as your question. What does this verse say about the nature of God? How does this reveal the nature of God? How can I more completely understand who he is and what he desires for me? Right? Maybe put that on a note. So every time you're in your study. So let me interrupt in this flow and give you a couple of vocabulary words that might be new. Some of you might not be new. You'd be like, I know where she's going with this. You might already know. Yeah. But the words are going to define two approaches to digging into God's Word. One approach that we're not going to do, we're going to avoid at all costs. And another approach that we're going to say, okay, I'm going to really hone in and make sure I'm doing it this way. So if you're a note taker and you like to be told in advance, like, where is this going? I hate that when people start talking and then I realize, oh, they're going to give me 17 points. I would have columns over there. I would have had to, I'm going to do two columns if you want two columns. So get your paper ready if you like to take notes in an orderly way. This is going to end up with two columns. So this will be helpful. The top of your left column is your new fancy word of the day. You go home and impress your friends and family with this. Win something on Jeopardy. The word is eisegesis. Bonus points if you could spell it right before I finish spelling it right now. E-I.
No, I messed up.
I'm out. Here we go. Eisegesis. E-I. S-E-G-E-S-I-S. I know, right? Greek. It's Greek to me. Literally, it is Greek. So there we go. Eisegesis, column one. Column two, exegesis. So E-X and then the E-G-E-S-I-S. Exegesis, eisegesis. Got it? On the eisegesis column, you can put a sad face. A reminder, that's going to be a no. On the exegesis column, just put a little happy face. Yay, a thumbs up, a smile, a star, stickers, whatever you want to do. That's your column. All right, so I'm going to walk you down eisegesis, and then we're going to go over to exegesis. You ready? So eisegesis and exegesis are both approaches to the Bible and how we study it, how we look at it. Eisegesis is an approach to reading the Bible to see basically what's in it for me. You just became friends with a pastry shop owner, right? That's eisegesis. What am I going to get out of this for me today? Okay. You can remember maybe, to help you remember what eisegesis is, just think of the sound of the word. Say it out loud. Eisegesis. I. What I want. Okay, does that help? Like double underline the I sound, even though it's E-I. Okay. So it's what I want. All right. Exegesis, move over there. Exegesis is an approach to reading the Bible to draw out from what God has to give, even if it's not for me particularly, right? You can remember exegesis by ex and expose, exposes. I'm exposing what God has. That's literally what it means. Eisegesis means, if you want the literal, if you want to, you know, geek out on nerd words, we can really have fun. But eisegesis literally means to lead into. I take what I have and I lead into what I'm reading. Exegesis means lead out of. The book of Exodus is when they were led out of Egypt. Exit, the sign over the door. Exegesis, I get out of it. What's there? All right, so I bring this up because we do tend to bring ourselves into the Word, okay? We read into it. We lead ourselves into that Bible study. And while we want to kind of picture being there in a sense, that's good, it can be a problem if we bring our ideals, our goals, what we want God to mean. Years ago, my mom and I had a discussion about a group that we were involved in, and she finally got to a point where she said, this is not a good group for us. I'm like, why? She said, well, this is who they've defined themselves to be. I'm like, no, they're going to be like this. Read their stated goals, she said. What have they said they're going to be? And I read them, and I thought, oh, you're right. I wanted it to be something else, so I kept on making it something else. I kept on going back, and we'd be there together, and we'd leave, and Mom would be like, something's off, something's not right. No, it's going to be great, it's fine, I love this group, I love the people, love the... Da-da-da-da-da. Until I pulled away and realized I'm bringing me into it too much. I'm making it what I want it to be. This can lead us to big problems when it comes to the Word of God. So instead, our focus needs to be to get out of the Word what God intended. And how can I know what God intended if I don't know God? Right? If I don't ask every time I'm in Scripture, what does this reveal about the actual nature of God? Not who I want Him to be, but who He really is. So think of it this way. When you're talking with someone, isn't it frustrating when they read into what you're saying? And they put words in your mouth almost. Your faces are telling you all relate to that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Wouldn't it be nice if they just got your words the way your heart communicated them? Yeah, right? We all would appreciate that. So when we're reading the Bible on our own, in our teaching time together, our prayer will be that God will help us to hear His heart. Just, you can even write that out. God, help me hear your heart. Tone down and volume down on me. I want to hear from you and reveal to me, like David said in Psalm 139, reveal to me the stinky parts of me that keep on inserting myself. I'm not even aware of it. Like, I wasn't aware with that group with my mom. She pointed it out, and of course, you know, I'm her daughter, so I don't listen to her. And daughters, you know, kids don't do that. But now I'm a big grown-up lady, And I'm so thankful for my wise mommy. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul commands us to use the exegetical method. Listen to what he says. Present yourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. This is what we need to be doing with God's word. This is 2 Timothy 2:15.
What version was that?
I didn't write down my version that I got it from. An honest student of the Bible will therefore be what we call an exegete. That's an actual word, by the way. You have exegesis. You are an exegete or an exegeter. Hey, I'm exegeting the word. You just go home and play with it, make all sorts of things up with that. But exegete is the word. You are someone who can rightly divide or correctly handle the word of truth. You are an exegete. You allow the text to speak for itself. So eisegesis leads us to error. As a would-be interpreter attempts to align the text with his own or her own preconceived notions, a la Jim Jones, a la Jehovah's Witnesses, a la Mormons, not a la like a la. I mean, no. French. Ah, yeah, too. La, totally different. And Muslims and whoever as well. Anybody else who wants to redefine who they think God is going to have a hard time getting it right on Scripture. Exegesis allows us to agree with the Bible. Eisegesis forces the Bible to agree with us. It's like you're arm wrestling with God constantly and you read the Bible. No, my way. Come on. And you push that in. So we're going to do 1, 2, 3 quick bullet points to help kind of flesh out. This is an important foundation I wanted us to start with as we move forward in this study, because we're going to be verse by verse in Luke. And you're going to read really familiar passages, stories that you've probably read before. And so let's start at the beginning with saying, here's how we're going to approach it so we don't make that mistake of just, oh, I've heard this before. This is what I learned last time. Just stick it back in there. We're going to go over a little bit more of that in a minute as well. So, process of exegesis, number one. And if you like to space out your numbers, I'm going to give you 33. Three.
You've been sitting from shame too much.
I know, right? Number one, and they're all going to start with an L. So number one is listening. Exegesis involves listening. Listening would involve prayer. So underneath listening, you can write prayer. Listening, prayer. So that's me talking to God, hearing from God. You'll have the opportunity at each beginning of each lesson for prayer. And secondly, under listening is letting God's word do the talking. Let God's word do the talking. You're listening. God is talking. So we're going to avoid, hang in there with me, some of you aren't going to like me saying this, we're going to avoid commentaries. Just hang in there. I'm going to let you open a commentary in a minute, but right now, for this point, I'm going to ask you no commentaries. That includes the study notes, the bottom of your Bible. If you have a wonderful Bible like I do, I love my NIV study Bible. I have my ESV study Bible. I have like all the versions and their study. I love all of those. But for this purpose right now, and let me hang in there with me, I'll tell you why. No commentaries, which includes no study notes. That includes no sermons. You're not going to go, Dr. MacArthur, he's fabulous. Alistair Begg, amazing. Pastor Shane, Pastor Jay, listen to their sermons on things. Not for this. And I'll explain it a little bit more in a minute. Or any other influences. I want you to grow in your ability to trust the Holy Spirit's work in your heart. That you are able to rightly divide the word of truth. You are able to correctly handle it. And not be dismissive because you don't have letters after your name. You didn't go to a school of divinity. If you did, who knows? But you're going to trust the Holy Spirit to do his work. Didn't he promise that he would reveal? Didn't he promise he would help us to understand? Why would he have asked us in James 1? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Go to his pastor. Go to a commentary. Read the study notes. You're going to do that too. That'll help. But let's go to God first. That we are going to read commentaries. We're going to go to sermons, obviously. We're going to hear other influences. But ladies, I want us to develop within our group here mature women who say, I'm okay. The Holy Spirit is empowered in me. I read this word. This is what it's saying. Now, if you're not sure, you're going to do some double checking with some pretty masterful people who've done a lot more laid work and study time. But you're going to first pray for wisdom on your own. Number two, L, looking. This involves, obviously, observation. You're simply going to observe what the passage says in context, all caps, double underlined context, of the audience, the setting, the happenings, things around it. So number one, listening. Number two, looking. Deep observation. Being mindful of context. Okay? Next is interpretation. That's part of looking. What did this passage mean to the original audience? Right? Where were they? Who were they? Were they Greek people? Were they Jewish people? Who was being talked to here? And the third one, the final one under looking, is correlation. So that's connecting with the rest of the Bible. How does the passage relate to the rest of the Bible? Scripture will never contradict itself. God is God from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, and right now in your life today. It will not contradict itself. God's law remains true from the time he spoke it at Sinai to today. That is God's law for us. So third L is living. Living. Oftentimes I think we like to start here though. What do? We open the Bible and say, oh God, I just need to get through the day. What do you got for me? Anyone? Open to Psalms because they're warm and cozy usually. A lot of them are kind of heavy and depressing. Open to Proverbs for a quick little snippet of inspiration. Open to your favorite New Testament highlighted verse, right? But living is the last. Living is last in that sense. So this final step does involve applying it to our life, but that's only after we've taken into consideration, what does it say about God? Where's the context now? Is this really a verse for me to apply to my life? For example, I submit to you, Jeremiah 29:11, as lovely as those words strung together are, was not written to you. You were never in Babylon. You've never been in captivity. You've never lived in exile. And you probably didn't read all the verses that came up before Jeremiah 29:11. If you're forgetting what that verse says, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope. In general, principled, God does love you. He has plans for you. But that verse isn't talking about that. If you go back up and read everything else that preceded that, you'll find that this is spoken specifically to a specific people at a specific point in time that when they were in captivity in Babylon. Philippians 4:13, another problem. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Athletes have it on their shoes. People are going to go to the Olympics. I can do all things through Christ. Yes, you, not really. You can't jump off this building and fly. You can't defy the laws, right? We're going to take things in context. If we look back in Philippians 4:13, we realize that scripture is leading right up to that, where Paul is saying, I'm going to be content in everything, and he's writing those words from prison. And I've learned to be content in plenty and in want. That's what he can do in all things through Christ, who strengthens me. Now, in general principle, does God indwell us and empower us to do? By his grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in weakness. That is what it says about God. That is true about God. That's why we start with that question first. And we don't start with, what does it mean for me? And while it's lovely to have those as your life verses, they weren't written to you in that way. And it's dangerous for us to apply them in that way. That's eisegesis, right? So that's why application comes last, because if we align ourselves with what God is saying, we don't end up looking silly to the rest of the world and really to other Christians who kind of are more mature along in their faith and understanding that. So we'll be careful on those types of things. So eisegesis, three things eisegesis does. 1, 2, 3. Number one, imagination. God gave you an imagination. He gave you curiosity. He gave you the ability to picture things in your mind and create, but not to invent the scene from the Bible in your own way. And we err in eisegesis when we bring our own imagination too much to bear into the scripture and imagine how we picture Jesus. This is why we have so many pictures of Jesus looking like a sweet, blonde-haired, calm, mild, silly person and not like a Jew. He was not blonde hair and blue-eyed, mild, Anglo-looking person. He was a Jew of Middle Eastern descent. But we use our imagination when we create how we want. This is why we have angels looking like fat, chubby babies. If you go back and read the scripture, you'll see angels are powerful, scary, overwhelming beings that every time they greeted someone had to start with the three words, do not fear.
Right.
Like a little cute little cherub, you know, to me, I'd be like, oh, you're so cute. I wouldn't be like, you know, fearful at all. But we used our imagination. We made little angels out of the cherubs. What are we doing? We're distancing God from who he truly is in all these little capacities. And it becomes a little more attainable for us. This is the infinite God, the creator of the universe. He's not attainable in that way. And we use too much imagination and we pulled God down to our size and it messes it up. God's big. He's dangerous. He's dangerous. He's powerful. He loves you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But your relationship with him isn't for you to create, and neither is the scriptures. Number one, eisegesis relies on your imagination too much. Number two, it relies a little too much on our exploration as well. Because you'll explore what scripture passages seem to fit with my idea. So we go into the word thinking, I want something good for me for today. I want to feel better. I want to lift my spirit. Number one, imagination. Number two, exploration. We explore too much, bouncing around scriptures to find something that fits my topic. This is why you will very rarely hear from our pulpits here at this church topical series. You're not going to hear them. And if they do, it's not going to be bouncing around from scripture, finding things that fit in and forcing them to make that happen. And we're going to go through things on marriage, and we'll go through things on hope, like we've done, but not because we're proving every single passage to fit our explored ideas. Third is application. So you're, in this sense, means what does my idea mean? Okay. So these are the things that we want to remember. We don't want to over-apply everything to you. Remember that every word was written to you in a sense, but it wasn't written for you. In other words, the Jeremiah 29:11 one, you get to read it. You get to be the beneficiary of God's words, but you can't apply Jeremiah 29:11 to your life personally in that specific tight way. You can apply a general principle about who God is revealed in Jeremiah 29:11 or Philippians 4:13. So just be mindful of that as we do our reading and understanding through the word. So because we're going to be studying the Bible this way, we're going to study it with our mind. And we have a tendency to put our heart first. Like I said, open the Bible. What is it? I got to lift my heart. I got to feel better today. I got to do this. I got to do that. So what can I do to boost my spirits and my morale? And we look at the Bible as a self-help book. And while there is ways to obviously help ourselves, surely in God's word, let's approach the Bible the way Paul said in Romans 12, that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind is renewed. The thought processes are changed. Okay, so we seem to be natural at loving God with our hearts. We naturally bring our emotions to the pursuit of God. And clearly from Deuteronomy 6, he wants us to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. We get that. But it's not isolated. We're not going to live in the world of emotions, right? Emotions aren't trustworthy. So God commands us to love with the totality of our heart, the totality of our soul, all of our strength. And that God commands us to love him with our minds as well. I think women in general, maybe not you, but my experience with women seems to be that they resist the mind part and almost in a dismissive way, putting down people who might use a bigger word than they understand. But just like saying I'm an astronomer, for example, if you at one point didn't know the word astronomer, aren't you glad you do now? Because now when someone asks what you do for a living, they don't have to say, well, I study the stars and the sun and the moon and the planets and how they move around the earth and gravity and all that. I'm an astronomer. Done. Now I know what that means. So now I know it's a big word, eisegesis. But now, done. Now you know. You can say, oh, I'm you. Ooh, this is eisegesis. Or exegeting. Okay, I got it. You see? Puts it down. Now I've got two easy words I can remember to move forward. Okay? So while we're in the Word, we're going to ask, how is God revealed? Remember? How is God? What does it say about his character? What does it say about his nature? How does understanding God in this way now, how does that impact my view of myself? So number one, how is God revealed by his character and nature in this passage? And number two, how does understanding God in this way impact my view of myself? See the order there? God and his nature as revealed in Scripture. Now, how does that impact my view of myself? And now move out to the world. So up to God, into myself, and out to the world. How then shall I live? So, real stuff now. Vocabulary lesson over. Right? So, might be old hat, might be brand new, wherever you are. And if you want any of my notes, I will just send you my rough notes. They're very filled with mistakes, typos, as I just type it out real fast. But I will email you all my notes. You can look at them at your feed. And your free time if you didn't catch everything I was saying, or you can listen to the podcast. So right now, right here, at the beginning, you're jumping in, good for you, brand new Bible study. Let's make a promise to ourselves that we will be kind to ourselves. We're going to allow ourselves to learn, allow ourselves to grow, which means we're going to have big hooray moments of clarity. I totally get this. You feel like the clouds parted, a light shone down upon you and your coffee cup and your Bible on your lap. The angels are singing and you wish you could just tell the world, I totally get this. Let me just tell you what this means. You're going to have those awesome, victorious moments where you feel super duper excited. I hope you'll text me when you do. Take a picture of your study and say, I totally get this. Tell me. Like, Ginger's been so good about that. I love, love, love your texts. Thank you so much for doing that. And guess what that means, ladies? Sometimes we're going to have frustrating moments. You might feel confused, discouraged. I don't get this. Ding, ding, ding. I have some help. Phone a friend. This is cloudy to me. Big words or under. Does it feel anybody else struggle? Text me in those moments too. We're in fellowship together to help each other and go through life together, right? This is our tribe. This is one of those good tribes that we actually wear clothing. Yay. No feathers. People are allergic to feathers. So we're fully a different tribe. But we're a tribe. This is our Bible study tribe. So it's like going to a gym. Think of it that way. You go to a gym. Maybe you made your New Year's resolution. You're getting out there. What happens that first day? You're a little sore that night. And so you give up, right? No, because you're not going to progress until you work through that. So I want you to give yourself some grace and kindness to your own heart. I want you to tonight, today, before you jump into the Bible study, I want you to reread 1 Corinthians 13. And where it says, love is patient, love is kind, love keeps no record of wrong, right? Amen. To yourself. We read that and we apply it to how we're treating everybody else. I want you to treat yourself as nicely as you would treat me or your other friend. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. Mm-hmm. And you're going to love yourself through this because you're going to have times of great victory. You're going to be super excited. And then I don't know what's up with us women, but we have those defeating moments where you don't feel like we get it. And then, well, I can't do it. I must be dumb. I'm not good enough at Bible study. I'll just stop. Don't do that. Hang in there and allow for room for growth. So when you open up the word to do your study, feeling a range of emotions throughout our season together is totally normal. From lost and overwhelmed, some of you might feel at some point. Maybe you got behind, now you've got 4 or 5 days to catch up with, and you're not sure if you can do it. I've asterisked key questions from each lesson. Just do those. Hang in there. Do just those. And read the stories I write, but that's not scripture. Read the scripture. Read everything. And then I've asterisked, like I said, key things I'd like to really focus on. So read the word and do your lesson. Just do it. Make that your priority today. Use your check boxes to encourage yourself. Remember not to rely on a commentary or your study notes too much if you have a study Bible. Instead of using the study notes in your Bible, use what's called cross references. They're the little tiny letters that bring one verse and that sends you over here maybe to the Old Testament to a verse that helps connect. Those are great tools to use. Use those. That's not commentary. That's just you going through scripture and connecting it together. And then just use a good old-fashioned dictionary. Just look up words. Find out what they mean. And then also just use a translation of the Bible, not a paraphrase of the Bible. I think I've mentioned this in our other study introductions, but NIV is a study Bible I like. It's a translation, New International Version, or ESV, English Standard Version. Which one do you use?
This is a new one, so this is New American Standard.
Okay, so New American Standard, another good one. There's different translations. Some of them are what's called word for word, and some of them are called thought for thought. That's a word for word translation, very literal. NIV is more of a thought for thought, and it's true to God's word because it's a translation. And then what we're going to avoid is paraphrases. So we're not going to use the Message Bible, for example, to do our Bible study from. So if you have a Message and you don't even have any other Bibles, give them from me. I have actual a stack of Bibles that I can give away. So make sure you go home today with a Bible that's actually a translation and not a paraphrase. So the New Living is another paraphrase. We're not going to do that one. New Living Translation is a paraphrase.
Okay.
It's good. But for example, in Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 50, there's a verse that says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Ye who have no money, come ye buy and drink. Hearken everyone to me. Come eat that which is good." Right? Let your soul delight itself in fatness, right? That's from NASB, I think. In the Message, it muddles that all up, and it literally says, in the Message, come and get cotton candy. Yeah. So, really misses a lot. And
so it just scrunches.
It, too much brings it to 20. Wow. No. So, we're not going to use a Message. We're not going to use New Living. Yeah. Okay. So, remember this also. Getting into Bible study is an honorable thing. God will bless you because you're putting him first. God's going to bless you. So you're on God's radar for blessing. In sign language for blessing, I don't know if you've ever done sign languages. From here, your hands go out like this. And I just picture that when I'm doing what God wants. I just picture God blessing me, just sending it out. Right? Guess what? If you've chosen to be in Bible study, you're not only on God's radar now. You've got an enemy. Now you've got a target on your back. There is no way that your enemy wants you truly knowing God's word. If you'll recall, since the dawn of time, that enemy has been quite literally hell-bent on keeping you from God's word. He twisted it in the Garden of Eden, and he's been twisting it ever since. He does not want you in the word. He doesn't want you exegeting. He would love for you to eisegete all the way through, but you're not going to do that. And you're going to resist the temptation to fall prey to his deception that you can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough time. Whatever it is, you're going to say, nope, this is me and God, and I value my relationship, and God's going to bless you for that as a result of doing that. Don't rely on your feelings as you go through this study. You cannot trust your emotions. They waver. We're just silly that way. Men, women, kids, all of us, you know that. The fact that any day that you feel the least able to do it is the day you need to do it most. And how many of you pushed yourself to get beyond and showed up and came to Bible study or came to church or went to a thing or did that and you realize, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. Yeah. It's so hard to get there. And I just want to encourage you. I go through those days too where I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm going to put clothes on. I have to wear makeup. I want to go.
I didn't get makeup.
And that's just Sunday mornings. So you have kindred spirits in here. You're not alone. You're not the only one who feels like you can't do it. You can. And you'll have an encouragement from me if you reach out to me to do that. Some days your study will not move you emotionally at all. You'll read it, you'll be like, she didn't tell any good stories today. Nothing moved me. I didn't cry. I didn't laugh. I already knew this story from third grade. And I'm not feeling it. You're going to do it anyway. And you're to say, Father, this one wasn't about me emotionally. I banked it away. I want you to think of it this way. In Luke, we'll see Jesus begin to share teaching through parables. He tells the parables, and sometimes his disciples struggle to grasp what he's saying. I struggle to grasp what he's saying. I'm like, really? That's what that meant? I don't think so, Jesus. You might have been off on that. Just saying, that was a little confusing. I want you to be okay to be in that moment of, I don't get this. And trust Jesus. He's going to reveal to you that you're banking this away. In fact, in one of the parables, he turns to his disciples and he says, have you understood these things? And like good little Sunday school kids, they say yes. Yes, Jesus. So he reminds them, like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. What's a storeroom for? It's for keeping treasures over a long period of time so that you can use them when they're needed. When you're faithful and you're steady, you're doing the same. You are banking that wisdom over here. And later on down the road, the Bible is so clear on this. He's going to give you that moment of clarity. I'm going, oh, I totally get that now. I memorized Psalm 139 years ago. And it just continues to come back out. And I think that is just a new revelation, new understanding from a scripture that I banked all those years ago. It just pops out of my little mouth every now and then. And thank you, Jesus, for that. When you need it, you will be able to call to mind. You know why? Because God's word doesn't return empty.
That's right.
It's powerful. It's alive in you. It might be stored down in this little corner. And I visualize, I got like a little habit trail inside of me. That's kind of weird, but I do. And like everything's like all pocketed up, and it just comes out when it needs to. Little hamster. All right. So, it's smaller than a rabbit. Little hamster rabbit would be stuck. Okay. So, don't be discouraged. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Beautiful verse to close with today as a reminder. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Work that you dial in on this study, the time that you're in the Word is going to come back to bless you. And here's the deal. It's up in your connection with God, into your own heart, but it doesn't stop there. God is bringing women, men, kids, humans, people into your life, planning on it right now, so you will have a word for them. He has all of that already ready to go. And you're going to be prepared so that when you come before somebody who's struggling, dealing with life, or in error, you will be able to redirect with your words, not because of your own wisdom, but because of the wisdom of God the Father. And you've done your due diligence in being in the Word today. So, are you excited to get started?
I am too.
So, your first scripture to read when you go home before you start your study is anyone remember?
Verse 13.
That you're going to be kind to yourself. You're going to think about the love chapter and say, God, I'm not going to allow Satan to steal my joy. I'm not going to compare. I'm where I am right now. I'm going to move forward in this study. And as we move into the book of Luke, if you have any challenges, questions at all, call your small group leader or text. You'll get everyone's phone numbers. We'll share, make sure everybody has those. And then, as you know, I'll remind you again, you can always text me. Many of you do already. Just 711. And if you just need prayer and you don't have time to go into it, I will cover you in prayer if you just text me 711. It's super easy. Just a quick little code that we do to help with prayer. Do it amongst yourselves as well. Spread the love. Do 711. It's working out quite well. In your book, if you'll turn to page 5, you will see I've written out what's called the Acts Prayer Model. Okay? So this will be referenced throughout your study when I ask you to write out your prayers, and you could use this potentially as your model to approach. Our study this time, like I said earlier, is divided a bit differently than a previous study in that we're doing a book, cover to cover, 1 through 24 of Luke. And so rather than a little small chunk of scripture, it's quite large, but I've broken it down into small chunks. So each week we're really only doing each session in between, two or three chapters each time. There will be 2 or 3 days, and they're in blue on your study, on each week, that are simply set aside for you to read. And we're going to call it active reading. So if you'll turn to page 6, you'll see a model idea of how to do active reading. This is you and God's Word. And then a page similar to this, or maybe a notebook journal if you want to keep your own Bible journal. This would be a sample idea of how to do active reading, just to help you keep things straight. Do you ever read a novel and you lose track of who's who? Like if I had to read the Downton Abbey, as a novel and not watch the TV show. Who are these people? I don't. Okay, the Dowager Widow. Got that one. Anyone else watch Downton Abbey besides me? Okay, sorry. So any novel where you get confused, this is how this will help you keep things straight as you read. Who's Jesus talking to? Where is he living right now? Where is he? Who is he with? Has Joseph died yet? Like, you'll keep it all straight if you do active reading. Use this, photocopy it if you want, or just get a sheet of notebook paper and jot that out that way. And then each time we come together, we will get the new set, you know, like we did last time. And I'll just, you have a table and you'll just add the next two. So what you see, what you have in here is our set to complete before we come back in February. And guess what? January has 5 weeks. You actually have 21 days instead of 14.
Yay.
So there's only 13 days listed out, so spread it out, share the love, do whatever you want. Okay. All right. And then use your checkboxes. Check, I'm done. And have it ready to go. Ladies, let's stand and close in our song, which is on page 9. Oh, and I bet you could find it. Yeah, if you have it in the hymnal. I bet you it's there. And let's just close with "My Hope Is Built on Nothing Less."
Oh, you have a better view of all four verses?
Wait, not better. Yes.
All four verses. Ready? Ready, boo?
Yeah.
Okay.
This reminder that you are the solid rock, that we can stand on you. And as we leave here today, I pray, Father, that we would truly do that, that we would humbly submit to you before we get into the word and ask that you would reveal yourself to us more fully, help our mind understand it, and help us, Father, to be true to your word. Help us also in our own heart to love ourselves, be patient with ourselves and kind, and then to share your word and wisdom and truth and love to those that you bring into our life. I thank you so much for every woman in this room, her love for you, a commitment to growing from where she is today to where she'll be at the end of May when we conclude our study. Thank you again, Father, for our time together. You are good, and we love you. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you again, Liz. Thank you so much.
Let me get you one.